Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sometimes unconventional, but always entertaining. They're kooky and they're spooky. It's time to cross to the other side. Welcome to Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Spooky Sundays. I hope the Dark Siders are listening tonight, and I hope all the Parastalkers, the Grand Poobahs, all the frightfully good people and all those nutters who like everything that's slightly weird and dead are here with us tonight.
Weird and dead.
It's our black little hearts are dead inside, Renata. Come on, face it. You know.
Oh, no, we had a good weekend. We had a very fabulous Friday night.
Apart from a nervous breakdown on my behalf, it was great.
Friday night, we were at Maitland Jail, which we normally are, but this time for a very, very different type of event. We had the Blues Brothers. What a fabulous night that was. We all got dressed up.
Well, it's thank the Blues thank Brothers show.
Yeah,
Blues Brothers. Yes. So Brooke and Michelle, they organised costumes for the whole team.
Yes, thank you so much, ladies. We look glorious. There is a photo of all of us with the guys that were singing all the songs on the Newcastle Ghost Tours Facebook page. Thank you, Karen, for taking that photo. And, yeah, so it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Loved it. And yesterday we were at Stroud.
Oh, mind you, we froze our butts off.
We did.
It's okay. We had we made up for it with a really freshly hot-made pizza and some crepes. Mm. Oh, the crepes were good.
Yes.
Sorry, I digress.
Last night we were at Stroud and had a lovely tour with people who booked in for the Stroud event. And here we are today.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Zach. Yes. Sending out birthday wishes to Zach, the son of one of our beautiful Frightfully Good team, Frightfully Good Army.
Yes. I attended the birthday party today with gorgeous Daniela and the whole family and had a delicious chicken snitty with a bacon and mushroom gravy. I haven't had dinner, can you tell?
Mm. And I am just doing a shout out to Susan and her beautiful two daughters who have just been on an East End ghost tour walk with me. Loved your company, so it was so much fun. So thank you for booking. And I've actually started up those East End walking tours again. You need four people.
Renata,
so four. Four people to book a tour.
A minimum. You can have more than that.
Yeah. And this is the walking tour. So
you pay for four people.
Yeah, we take you around the east end of Newcastle and tell you lots of good spooky stories. So do you want me to get on with the news of the week? Because we've got a hot topic. And I did ask earlier on about spirit boxes.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Yeah, and what's going to happen to them in the future because things are going to change. And what you think about using spirit boxes on investigations. So let me read this. It comes from higgypop.com. And it is about spirit boxes in the age of digital broadcasting. So when it comes to ghost hunting, especially public events and investigations on paranormal reality shows, few tools are as well used as a spirit box. Everyone loves the spirit box. However, the relentless cackling of this instrument may be on the brink of falling silent.
Oh.
This potential shift comes not from scientific discovery or a technological leap, but from the transition from analog to digital broadcasting.
Right, okay.
Whoopsies. Since December 2017, Norway has switched off all analog radio broadcasts, only transmitting digital audio broadcasting and internet radio. By 2024, Switzerland is also slated to follow suit. While the impact of this change on domestic commercial radio was examined during the World DAB Summit in 2022, one lesson and consequences caught the attention of the paranormal community: the future functionality of spirit boxes in these areas. How interesting.
Well, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, what happens when they switch it off? Does that mean it just goes to white noise?
Mm.
Or is it just dead silence?
Now, if you're unfamiliar with the spirit box, it's a tool that rapidly scans the AM and or FM radio spectrum. The fleeting bursts of white noise and static, and sometimes radio broadcasts, are believed to be manipulated by spirits to form words and phrases. These serve as intelligent responses to investigators' questions, a form of EVP, electronic voice phenomena. However, with Norway having switched off all analog radio signals, the traditional spirit box has become obsolete, reduced to producing a single unbroken static noise, which we kind of call white noise. This shh that happens. Mm. Now, in fact, Paranormal Energy Norway, a group of dedicated investigators, has been innovating amidst this digital shift. They have been experimenting with hacked old radios, exploring the use of single frequencies to minimise radio bleed and enhance the potential of authentic EVP communication. Interestingly, despite the absence of FM frequency broadcasts, the team continues to report instances of EVPs, a phenomena that both defies conventional understanding and spurs interest. So as the global transition from analog to digital radio continues, it's clear that the landscape for paranormal investigations is bound to change. The exciting prospect here is the potential for developing new improved tools and methods.
Excellent new gadgets.
Refining the process of discerning the unexplained. Whether the future of paranormal investigations will be marked by hours of static noise or more reliable EVPs remains uncertain. What's clear, though, is that this field will continue to evolve, adapt, and inspire intrigue and debate in equal measure. So that's a really good article, and it very much talks about this area that paranormal investigators love to work in, and that is collecting the voices of the dead.
Well, that's a nice way of putting it, isn't it?
Trying to record them, trying to engage, trying to use whatever tools are available to create some sort of conversation.
Yeah, and that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to get some answers from the other side. And it's going to be interesting, because if it just goes to white noise, that's going to make many paranormal investigators very happy, because the whole the purists prefer that there is no radio station input.
Mm-hmm.
They want the randomness of just the with no radio,
mm-hmm.
no interference. And if you get a voice coming through that, that is really, really interesting. And we've been doing some experiments with that at the residence,
mm-hmm.
just listening to white noise. And we've had all sorts of weird stuff going on there.
Mm.
People have heard conversations. People have heard music, marching bands, mm-hmm. and it's just white noise.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I know that when we use the spirit box, I like to actually use some of the bleed from the radio, where you get the voices popping in and out every now and then randomly. And because we use the Estes method, where some people are wearing headphones and just calling out what they hear, they're not being influenced by what the questions are to know what the answers would be. If we start getting a string of answers using that method, I just find that really interesting. I think it's going to be I know for paranormal entertainment, and when I refer to paranormal entertainment, I'm referring to ghost tours. People are going to want to hear things, and I think when it goes to that white noise, that the general public, the normals, as we like to call them, won't have the patience to sit and listen for that elusive something that comes through.
Mm.
They'll be bored.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens then?
Well, we know that there are apps coming out virtually every week, new apps with regard to EVP and, you know, word bank apps and mm-hmm. everything. I think enough people will be kept busy. It's just then sort of looking at what's actually kind of working and not really just the rubbish.
Yeah.
So it's,
again, we're looking for those intelligent responses,
yeah.
aren't we?
And yeah, mate, you've got apps on your phone. I've got apps on my phone. Yeah. We all give them a bit of a go because, I mean, who knows? Who knows how this information is coming through? We're just providing the base for experimentation.
Yeah, and for me, it's the intelligence of the response and whether it is answering the question without influence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what floats my boat, so to speak. Mm. So what's your favourite app?
At the moment, I hate to say that I like apps, actually.
I know. Isn't there this, like, yeah. it's this dirty feeling if you use an app? It's like, what are you? How yes. common are you that you're using an app? But think about it. What is spirit meant to be? It's supposed to be energy, yeah? That's the theory. Mm-hmm. It's energy. And we use electromagnetic field detectors to detect the presence of these spirits or some sort of interruption to that field. If they are able to manipulate EMF fields and work with the electrical field and drain batteries and switch jugs on and off and turn lights on and off, then why not be able to interact with an app and use the information there? I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
But, playing devil's advocate, if you've got a spirit that is that cluey to be able to create interference with an app so it brings up from a bank of words the right words to answer the question that you have just asked, why don't they do more in the scenario when we are working? So there'll be this conversation coming through on the app, but if you say, can you go over and make that light box light up by going near it or touching it, nothing happens.
But what if it's easier for them to use the app?
I don't think it would be.
You reckon?
Because you've got a whole set of stuff.
Well, energy
happening.
To energy or physically moving physical things.
Yeah.
Or are you talking about like REM pods?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, go over there and stand in that REM pod and make it light up.
Maybe it hurts them.
Mm.
I don't know the answers, which is why it's really important. People keep trying new things all the time and I don't know if we'll ever get the answer because I don't think we're meant to know the answer because what would happen if we were able to speak to those people who had passed? I think it's Pandora's box.
Well, the whole paranormal investigation stuff would go out the door, wouldn't it? they wouldn't need us anymore.
Oh, we'd be out of a job.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, Lisa has said the spirit box is especially compelling through the Estes method when there's words or phrases that you would be very unlikely to hear on the radio. And that is true. That is really true. Now, I think,
we did get something that was highly unlikely to come through in the last couple of days. We got a word, I can't remember what it is, but we'd never seen it come up on the Spirit Talker before.
Yeah,
it's very odd.
We can look it up in the break and see what it is. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to head off to a song and then we'll come back after that. Now, I have been very ingenious.
Oh,
I have
no.
got the ABC of mythical creatures coming up next, and I know that Renata struggles with it, so I've decided to make it interactive, and I've given her some jobs where she has to make sound effects to add to the story that I'm going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about gorgons tonight. Not goujons with the chicken fingers, but gorgons, okay? So come back after this song and we'll tell you all about it.
Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata on Newcastle Live.
Oh, and it's so good to be back in studio with you, Renata. I'm feeling so much better. Oh, that's it. Put your headphones on. Catch up, girlfriend. We're getting excited because it's a week tomorrow that we head off to the airport to get down to Sydney because we've got a flight in the morning on Tuesday morning to head off to Germany. And you guys will still get your regular entertainment. We've got one show recorded. We've still got another two that we're trying to record before the before we leave, plus another three Spooky Sundays. We can do this. This is easy peasy. Renata.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right.
Yes, so, I am. I'm going to try.
Okay.
I'm going to try my hardest, people. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So we are going to be looking at the ABC of mythical creatures with Anne and Renata. Ladies and gentlemen, gather around. I have a bone-chilling tale with the sound of windows in the background to share with you tonight. Are you ready to venture into the realm of ancient mythology where monstrous creatures dwell? Brace yourselves as we delve into the story of the Gorgon, a creature that strikes fear into the hearts of mortals. Cue Renata with a sound effect. That is really cool thunder rumbling.
Oh, right. No, well, hold on. I've got another one.
It's going to be a great show, people. We'll just hold and wait for you. You ready?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, we can't be silent. Our tale begins in the distant land of ancient Greece, where heroes and monsters roamed. Among them was a young hero called Perseus, destined to face the deadliest of challenges. Armed with divine artifacts and guided by the wisdom of Athena, he embarked on a perilous request. Next one.
Shh.
But you can't swear.
I don't know how to. Hold on. I'm learning. Hold on. I got it.
We got it? Okay. We're not Kyle and Jackie O. As Perseus approached the lair of the Gorgons, a sinister aura filled the air, quite like what I just left in the bathroom out there. The legend spoke of three sisters, Medusa, Sethino, and Eurale, with Medusa being the most dreaded. Once a beautiful woman, she had been cursed by the vengeful goddess Athena, transforming her into a creature so horrifying that a single glance would turn a person to stone. With his pounding heart and a polished shield as his only protection, Perseus entered the lair. The serpents writhing atop Medusa's head hissed and slithered, creating an eerie symphony that sent shivers down his spine. No, your next one, Renata. Oh. Armed with a magical sword bestowed upon him by the gods, Perseus fought with all his might. He relied on the polished shield, using its reflection to catch glimpses of the monstrous Gorgon. And in a swift, single stroke, he decapitated Medusa, putting an end to her terrifying reign. Hang on. We've got to wait for the sound effects. This flows beautifully. I'm loving it. Who needs to record it, pre-record it? We just do it like this. But the story doesn't end there, my friends. For even in death, Medusa's power remained. Her severed head, with its still petrifying gaze, became Perseus's most potent weapon against his enemies. And
Hotjar takes product teams.
That was very ominous music. That was fabulous.
I didn't get to ominous music.
Do-do. Perseus returned home triumphant, but the burden of the Gorgon's head weighed heavily on his soul. It became a tool of vengeance, turning his foes into stone and forever freezing them in time.
Ah!
That was truly petrifying. Thank you, Renata. This chilling tale of Perseus and the Gorgon serves as a reminder that even the most terrifying creatures can be conquered with courage and divine guidance. It speaks of the human spirit's resilience in the face of unspeakable horrors. But be warned, my dear listeners, for the legacy of the Gorgon lives on. In our modern world, the term Gorgon has come to represent a person with an unnerving presence, not unlike Renata, capable of striking fear into the hearts of others. If anyone's seen that gaze from Renata, they will know what we're talking about. So beware the gaze of those who might possess such powers. And with that, our spine-tingling tale draws to a close. I hope you've enjoyed this journey into the realm of ancient mythology where heroes clashed with terrifying creatures. Remember, my dear listeners, even the darkest of nights, there is always a glimmer of hope. A hero who will rise to the face, will rise to face the monstrous Gorgon. Until next time, stay curious. Keep your ears tuned to the secrets of the paranormal. This was the ABC of Mythical Creatures, the guide to the unknown. That's like meditation music.
I couldn't press the button fast enough. That's all I got. I just had to get the first one. Right.
All right. You can press stop now so we don't get demonetized.
Oh, look, honestly, people, send hearts. I think we've done very well. I battled.
All right.
I was not prepared. What's
the verdict? Do we like this new format?
It's shocking.
Where I come up with a script for Renata who has to create sound effects. As I said, it reminds me of when we were doing the one where we'd create the stories?
Do you want my swords?
Oh, is that what it was? That was very clever. I was impressed with that one.
That was my Foley.
Oh, ghostwriter. That's what it was, ghostwriter.
I reckon I could get a job.
Maybe not.
Oh, come on.
So what are we up to next week? We've just done G. H.
H.
What's on H? I can't remember. Herpes? Oh, no, that's the wrong show. Harpies?
Was that a god? Was that a god? A god? Herpes? sounds like a great god.
Oh, it's just going to get worse, everyone. It's just going to get worse.
We've got 3 weeks together, Ed.
With my husband, Roman.
Oh, it's going to be fabulous.
So we've created a little group chat for us because I figure that we're going to be working things out and we may get separated at times so we can send each other messages. So we've got our messenger chat and we were trying to come up with a good name for it and Renata came up with a cracker. What was it?
Mm-hmm. Roman Sister Wives.
Roman Sister Wives. Poor Roman. Yes, we are going on the Mysterious Adventures journey with Dave Schrader and a whole busload of Americans to explore many haunted locations.
Pray for them.
And you'll find out about some of those locations over the next couple of weeks. We've still got a Spooky Sunday show next week.
Yes.
But then we'll have pre-recorded shows ready to go.
Hopefully we'll be able to tell you where we're going for the investigations because, you know, frankly, we don't know yet. It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
It's mysterious.
That's right. It's Mysterious Adventures because you don't find out till
the very end.
The very end, what's going to happen. Maybe we just get on the bus and we go and we turn up.
Well, we know we're going to the ossuary.
Yes.
Yes, we're going to go to the ossuary. For anyone who hasn't listened to our podcast, the Sedlec Ossuary is a church.
Church of Bones.
Of Bones. Plenty of photos, I'm telling you.
And we are going to Hushka or Hauska.
Hauska Castle.
Hauska Castle.
Where the portal to hell is.
Yes, it's got a pit that goes right down to the pit of hell.
Yes, can't wait.
Going to go throw Renata in and Satan will throw her back. Yeah, anyway, we're going to go to a song. We'll come back after this. I've got to make sure I turn that down. I'm getting in trouble there and I'm trying to reach that over there. And I've lost the cursor yet again. My choice of songs. Hope you enjoy this one. We'll be back after this with your questions.
Do you have paranormal questions? Well, we have the answers. It's time for Spooky Chat with Anne and Renata.
I always have a moment of panic, Renata, when it says, if you've got spooky questions, well, Anne and Renata have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have our opinion and knowledge from what we have learned.
Well, you can't do an ad that says, do you have a spooky question? Well, Anne and Renata have their opinions.
But
that's not going to sound very good, is it? No.
All right, we're going to kick off with the first question tonight from Leah, and she's actually sent this through on Tuesday. Hi, I have a question for Spooky Sundays. Hi, ladies. Do you believe, or what are your thoughts on premonitions, Leah?
Ooh, lots of people have premonitions, and often they do come true. It's some sort of intuitive part of a human being, and the more connected sometimes you are to a person. So there are a couple of things. There are those intuitive things that come to you, those premonitions that are totally out of the blue, and it's like you don't have a connection with anything at all. Like, for example, we're here living in Australia and someone has a premonition about a tsunami, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's one type of premonition.
But is it a premonition if they had really specific information about the country, the date and the time? That would be really interesting. But how many people are there in this world, and the percentage that may think about a tsunami or dream about a tsunami, and it just happens to line up with one happening? Is it just a very random thing?
Maybe. And a hard-nosed skeptic would probably say yes.
Yes.
Exactly right. But those that have those premonitions and the thing that they think is going to happen or feel is going to happen happens, it's this really weird feeling as though, oh, the veil has opened between the worlds and I've had a little peek in and my brain has told me that something's going to happen. Now, there's another type of premonition that is, I guess, more...
Deja vu is a type of premonition,
yeah,
isn't it?
And you know, when it's about someone close to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you have this emotional connection to them, and you might think that something's going to happen to them.
Oh, you've got a gut instinct that something is not right.
It's not right, they're going to call on Tuesday and they do, or you know, that sort of stuff.
Or you know who's calling on the phone.
Yes.
That's another one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe. Maybe it does happen.
Yeah. I think it does. We're all connected.
And we all say only that. We don't people think that time is linear. Maybe it's not. And maybe it's just a little time slip where we get a glimpse into something that's in the future. And, yeah, who knows? Right. Catherine was absolutely first for the day. Welcome. Just answering your question, re-spirit boxes, I do not like these things. Although I like the Estes method, I'm at the stage now where I'm only satisfied with some real evidence like an EVP or photo or thermal image. This may sound selfish, but I'm quite happy to go home with no evidence as well. Good on you.
Mm.
Thank you, Zena, Catherine, warrior princess.
Awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I would rather go home with nothing than fake stuff. Robin. Hello, Robin. Thank you so much for texting in for the first time. Robin is saying that we are both looking well tonight.
Oh, thank you, Robin.
Oh, I'm just trying. There's messages coming in and I'm trying to get the other ones coming in. Oh, who have we got here? Hello. They've got the... Put my teeth in, start again. We've got the Fairy Whisperer on.
Ah, hello, Fairy Whisperer.
Who has sent a message for you, Renata, to apologise, saying I meant to give a slice of birthday cake to Anne for you, but she ate it. No, she was swept away with everything else that was going on. And I was actually going to ask too, and I forgot to ask.
I could do with a piece of birthday cake right now.
And it was Black Forest cherry cake. I was practising for Germany.
Mm. I've been working today since 10 o'clock this morning. I haven't stopped.
Right, we've got Shane. Hi, ladies, and thanks for the advice on voice recorders. And Yowie Dan also gave me some voice recorder tips as well. Excellent. It's always good to ask around. Right, we've got Yindyamara saying, I have a question. How did you start the radio show?
Well, from my point of view, I have been wanting to do a radio show for years and years and years and years. I thought there would be value in doing one. I thought it'd be fun. And I really wanted to do one that was local. And as I tend to do, I send a lot of emails. I send a lot of requests out, you know, thinking someone might say yes. And no one did. That's kind of, they just really weren't interested, which is quite sad. I still kind of thought that one day we'll be able to do a radio show and that'd be awesome. But actually, I'm going to hand over to you, Anne, because it was you and your friend that actually got us into doing the radio show.
It was. And I'd had a taste of doing the radio show when I was with a team called Eastern States Paranormal a long time ago. And we got called in for Halloween for a show there. Oh, no, it wasn't Halloween. They had a ghost in their studio, and it was one of the big named ones down in Sydney. And we went and investigated the studio. Then they got this live on. It was when Dicko was one of the judges for you know, those rock shows, and he was one of the main people there. And apparently when we were on, when they said if anyone would like to ring in with a question, the what do you call, the desk went into meltdown. They said they haven't had that many phone calls in years.
Wow.
And it dawned on me that there is a space for this out there.
Yeah.
And I did speak to them at the time about doing it, but it was difficult because we were from Newcastle and the technology to sort of do it remotely wasn't there at that stage. So I saw there was a Newcastle radio station and I reached out to them and said, would you consider doing this? And this is only like, this is pre-COVID, just pre-COVID. And the people involved didn't even bother to answer me, which I thought was a bit rude.
That's normal.
Then there was a change of hands and the Newcastle Live picked up this radio station. And my friend was actually doing a show on here. And I said, you know, I'd approached these guys 12 months ago or something before the change of shift and said, we'd love to do a show. And she said, well, I'll mention it to the new people, which they did. And they were keen.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later.
We're still here.
We're still here.
And we're looking for a sponsor, just saying.
Now, we have to say that we need to get a sponsor for this show. Our demographic is people aged between 30s through to 60s.
Yeah.
And I know we've got a few either side of that as well, but heavily female and some awesome guys in there as well. But we're a very marketable audience that we've got here that are listening. But it's hard to sell advertising because we're quirky. But if they looked at who was listening, they would realise that this is a very marketable audience and you guys really support anything we do, which we love. So if you know a small business that would like to become involved, if they could contact Newcastle Live, they've got some very modest packages that they can put together for you. And there is something new coming, which we're a little bit excited about. We'll see how it goes, where we're going to take over a little bit.
Like we don't.
We're going to push people out of the road. And, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But if this show is going to keep going, in all honesty, we need to get some...
A few sponsors on board.
Sponsors or some advertising, which would be great.
Yeah.
Also, happy NAIDOC to to everyone.
Yes.
From Yindyamara. Another question, why is it that we turn YouTube off at 8:30? Because you'd love to watch the whole show live. The thing is, we are a radio show and a podcast. So if we stayed on, then the numbers would be great on our YouTube page, but it would not reflect well on the the radio page. And if they are going to find us sponsors or advertisers, they need to show how many people are listening to our show so they can say, hey, look, we've got this many people that listen to these guys. They're on every week and the numbers are growing. That's why we need you to come across to listen, and we don't do it live for the whole show. Now, we may at some stage or other be able to go live on the Newcastle Live network, but that's a work in progress.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've just got to keep those numbers up.
Yeah. So share it around with your friends, because we love doing what we do, but it sadly at the moment does not pay our bills. And we thank all those people who do us the buy me a coffee. You've got no idea how much that helps us out.
We love you.
Those people who are our Patreon supporters, the Parastalkers and the Grand Poobahs and just the supporter community. You guys are amazing. But it keeps us going because this is our full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm not meaning to be whingy or anything like that, but I think the work that we provide is good quality stuff, even with your sound effects.
Oh, thank you.
And, yeah.
It's just the reality, you know, that we can't do things. These things don't run on fumes.
Speaking of fumes, I'm boiling and here we need to get the aircon on. All right, we're going to head off to a song and we'll be back after this with more of your questions.
Don't go away.
Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata on Newcastle Live.
And we're back with Spooky Sundays, and Cousin Steve has just joined us in the studio. And
Hello.
He brought us
food.
Treats.
You've got to keep the grannies happy.
That's right, because this granny was getting a little bit
angry.
And you bought me something that I have not had in a long, long time.
I know. I got nostalgic when I saw it at the drive-thru window. I was like, oh, stop it. I don't know. They still made them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were McDonald's cookies.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to crack those out in the break and
see if they're the same.
Nibble
they
them.
They are. I think they're even sweeter than they were before.
Oh, excellent.
Really? It's just a shape made of sugar.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
That's all it is.
All right, so we're still going through some of the texts that have come through. We've got some messages about the spirit boxes and all sorts of things. So Lisa said that Gary Galka has been recently experimenting with his spirit box upgrades, the PSB 7 Pro and the Radio XITC. I have heard of those, Lisa, and Ozparatech will be stocking them. He's working with some at the moment that will remove the ch-ch-ch-ch noises.
Oh, that would be awesome.
But there's also one where you can listen live and then you can replay it. And in the meantime, it's still recording and you can listen back to see if you caught something and then pick back up again. So he's really creating more and more different things. I can't wait till we stock them. Deborah Ann. Hello, Deborah Ann. Who's talking about the premonitions? Or could it be law of attraction instead of a premonition? All those people in the world thinking about a tsunami. It could be.
It could be. I mean, they do scientific experiments with number generators, and they find that there are certain times when people seem to be connecting. And whether it's like Christmas or Easter or, you know, some sort of special period where it seems that – or when there's news, because I think they found this out also after 9/11 when everyone was kind of focused on the one thing.
So subtle.
That the number generator actually changed and there was significantly more evidence about people influencing that number generator.
Yeah. I've got your problem tonight, Renata, where I'm repeating all my words. When I was doing that parapsychology course with the University of Edinburgh, they looked at a lot of those. They're called regs, so the random number generators. Maxine said that she had a feeling that something happened in her old house and then they were broken into. Maybe that was some sort of warning. And now, because I've got apple pie in my fingers, it doesn't want to go back. Oh, hi, ParaQuest. How are you? Hide and seek, ParaQuest. They love the Estes method and think once the analog is turned off, it will be even better. So you're one of the purists that don't like the random radio coming through. In fact, we've just ordered another spirit box from Oz Paratech. Thank you. The go-to store for all your paranormal technology.
And yes,
you.
They did have Afterpay.
So, yeah, some people will modify their spirit boxes to remove the antenna so that they don't get the radio signal coming in. But if you do that, you can't send it back for a return because it's no longer working after you've hacked it, people.
You can also buy secondhand or go over to your grandparents and get their old radio and switch it on, especially if they've got the dials that they used to stop between. You could just turn them so that you just got the white noise in between mm-hmm. the radio stations.
Mm-hmm. Dave Mann, hi. I hope the Cheesecake Shop hears your plea for a sponsor.
Oh,
they could pay us in cheesecakes. Oh,
I'm going to go over there and I'm going to ask them.
Now, he also said, read the spirit box. Visited a mid-late 1800s cemetery yesterday and tested out the Ankh Mini noise filter, also available from Oz Paratech.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
As in conjunction with the SB7, so it gets rid of that ch-ch-ch-ch noise. Both available from Australia's. He's actually written this, Australia's best paranormal store, Oz Paratech. I set the SB7 to AM band in reverse and heard, "Who are you?" Shortly after introducing myself, I had, "What do you want?" come through. I asked if they wanted to have a chat. I had no response. I took it as a no, so I gave my thanks, packed up, and quickly left.
Good on you, Dave.
Wow. Yeah, I want to try that.
I want to try it too.
Yeah, the Ankh.
Okay, I will dig it out for you. You can have a crack.
Yes, please.
Yep. Yeah. And Robert is here, and he's added some very important information to the conversation. Yibbida yibbida.
Thanks, Robert.
Now, Steve, did you hear the ABC of mythical creatures tonight.
I did hear all the Gorgon-ness.
Mm. Oh, no, yes, you did.
I thought it was fabulous.
Foley artist Renata.
I know, right? Serving up. All right, it's my sword.
I know, I heard the sword.
Yeah.
And then she's going to keep demonstrating that all bloody night now.
You should have, so put the spirit up and, like, draw it out. Like, scrape it up the inside.
What have I created?
That's a noise. That's a sword.
Yeah, that's a sword going... I see the knife being sharpened. Roman keeps telling me a story about when he went to see Macbeth at the University of Newcastle production when he was in Year 12 a long time ago. And the actors were on stage and they had swords in their sheaths ready to rip out a sword. Mm-hmm. And as one ripped out a sword, Roman leant over to the person sitting next to him and said, "That's a self-sharpener knife." And everyone cracked up laughing. He's a naughty boy.
Very funny.
All right. What have we got coming up in the next half?
Oh, I have a fantastic story by Troy Taylor, who is a very, very well-known storyteller in Australia, in America, in America. And he has written a plethora of really good paranormal books as well. But this is one of his stories about spontaneous combustion.
Oh, of
course. I like a bit of spontaneous combustion.
And we've got a case of that allegedly at Maitland Jail.
Yes.
Don't forget, you can come ghost hunting with the Ghost Grannies and Cousin Steve at Maitland Jail. Book your tickets online with Maitland Jail and look for the Ghost Hunting 101 or... The Residence. Mm. Oh, my favourite.
And we've got a special announcement about the Res coming up very, very soon for a bunch of lucky people.
Now, our grand poobahs are going to get first shot at this.
They're going to get first dibs.
Look after the people who look after us. Mm-hmm. There is a all-nighter sleepover coming at The Residence.
Yes.
Yeah. Steve, what have you got coming up for the next half?
I've got a little bit of a gossip on the cinema. We're going to the movies.
Oh,
we're
going to check like
the movies.
Very nice.
Yes.
Can I get a chalk top?
You can.
I will take out a loan against my house and get a chalk top.
They're getting smaller and they cost more.
And it's the worst. And then you walk out and you think, oh, I've come out well, and you're covered.
And you bite into that chocolate top and there is a tiny scoop of ice cream down the bottom somewhere.
Mm, I know.
Disappointment. Disappointment in a cone. I'm sure that happens many times in Amsterdam. I've got a story about a haunted bus.
Oh.
Mm. I was a bit worried it might be too soon, but, you know, it's not that sort of story. It's a different story. I had it all approved. I did check with everyone it would be okay, and everyone agreed it was all right to tell the story.
Okay.
So we're going to head off with a couple of songs, and we'll be back with more on Spooky Sundays.
It's time to cross back to the other side. Welcome back to Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second hour of Spooky Sundays. And, of course, we start the second hour now with Creepy Corner.
Ooh.
Cousin Steve.
Get in here.
Hello.
Get hello, everyone. It's nice to be back in the Creepy Corner.
Mm-hmm. Hardy ho.
The mildew's going well. Oh. You know, the mushrooms are being cultivated, all the good stuff. Mm. So we're going to, you know, dig the dirt on paranormal pop culture. And this week, as promised, we're headed back to the movies.
Mm.
Back to the movies because there is a new addition to a very popular paranormal franchise.
Oh, yes. No.
Yes.
Which one do you think I'm talking about? It's probably not the one you think.
The Conjuring?
No.
Oh.
But Conjuring related.
Oh.
Oh, adjacent, let's put it. Let's
Amityville?
Put it. So, no. Oh, God, no. But don't say those words.
I know, I read about it. Gosh, I forgot.
So last month there was The Boogeyman, which is a Stephen King-related thing that was in cinemas. It didn't really, like, raise many eyebrows here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard to get a stiff wind up people about horror movies these days.
Right.
Especially here in Newcastle, you can't find a cinema that's not playing it. If it's like Fast and the Furious 79, there'll be 68 screenings of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's a horror movie, not so much. But this week,
in Newcastle, they're just horror.
They're not cultured.
So, I know.
Not
but
cultured.
Living in Newcastle, it is quite insidious, and that's where we're headed.
Ah, yes.
We are back to Insidious. This is actually the fifth film in the franchise.
Are you serious?
Insidious, The Red Door.
Oh.
Now, it is a direct sequel to parts 1 and 2. So parts 3 and 4 tried to expand the story a little bit and ventured away from the original family. But this is the original family from the movie nearly 20 years ago now, actually. Mm. 10 years ago, actually. Insidious, 2010, yeah.
Wow.
13 years, wow. 13,
how 13, appropriate.
Yes, 13 years later, directed by Patrick Wilson himself.
Oh.
Ed Warren.
Oh.
From The Conjuring. Patrick Wilson is in both of these franchises.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, so Patrick Wilson is back.
Finger in many pies.
As is Ozzie Rose Byrne.
Yes.
As his wife. Ty Simpkins, who was their small child in the original movie.
Wow.
He is back as well. And Andrew Astor and the phenomenal Lynn Shay, who plays the psychic medium.
Mm-hmm.
She is brilliant. Have you guys seen these Insidious movies?
Not for a long time.
She is the glue that holds those movies together. She's golden. But it focuses on the little boy from the first movie, 13 years later, you know, going to college. And he has very little knowledge of what happened to him.
Oh,
so he is, yeah. So I'll read you the synopsis,
yes,
shall we?
Yes, okay. Please.
Set 10 years after the events of the second film, Josh Lambert heads east to drop his son Dalton off at an idyllic Ivy League college. However, Dalton's college dreams become a nightmare when the repressed demons of his past suddenly return to haunt them both.
Oh, repressed demons.
Yes, oh. To end the haunting and to put the demons to rest once and for all, Josh and Dalton must once again return to the further in order to stop the Lambert nightmare for good.
Oh.
So it's a very interesting little exploration of generational trauma /
mm-hmm.
haunting,
mm-hmm.
which is a big thing that I think we don't discuss a lot in the field of, you know, we see the Amityville people and, you know, the Warrens are involved and the Lutzes, but we don't think about what happens to their kids.
The kids.
That's
and their
correct.
Kids.
Yeah.
And their kids. And mm-hmm. we've discussed it in various different interviews and stuff like that. But it's very interesting to see the film world is catching up, because this is also going to be part of the jizz, as Renata would say. Part of the jizz of the new Exorcist movie that is opening this year.
Oh.
So the new Exorcist movie also has original stars.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be going all the way back to Reagan. And we are revisiting all of these original characters.
So Linda's coming back, is she?
Well, they were holding out on Linda, but apparently Linda has been seen on set and
Ooh.
Around the set. So, I mean, you can't do the Exorcist without Linda Blair, can you? We
no.
saw what happened. She's a goodness, but the woman that played her mother, blanked.
Mm-hmm.
Blanked, the original actress that played her mother.
I could look it up on IMDb for you.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's not Shirley Duvall.
No, she is back. She's like 80 something. She got horribly injured.
Yeah.
Filming it. But she's filmed her segments in it. This is going to be a trilogy as well.
She's got goosebumps.
So, yeah, it's all back. So everything old is new again.
I'm going to be traumatised yet again, because that traumatised me, that movie.
I know. See, well, this is a funny thing. We're in another generation now where these movies, so your Conjurings and your Insidiouses mm-hmm. and your Sinisters are the movies that people see first.
Mm-hmm.
They're these PG
mm-hmm.
horror
yep.
films that are kind of the doorway in, and then they go backwards and forwards and discover things. So it's funny to see them already at this point where they're self-referencing and going, remember the good old days? That was 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm really as old as dust then. So that's okay. That's fine.
I just wonder whether they're going to just amp up the CGI, or whether they're actually going to think of the psychology behind.
Well, see, I think that with like Insidious, it's always been a bit, it's demon-based, heavily, heavily demon-based. It's the one with the red face demon with the claws and everything.
Mm.
They've actually done a really super cool thing in LA. There is a Red Door experience just set up on the street. It's like a shipping container, like Dark Field.
Oh, yes, yes.
And there's a red door.
I don't think I'd do that.
It says, do you dare to open the red door? And you've got to walk through and see if you can make it out alive.
That would freak me out more than what the seance one would. I could do the seance one, but I don't think I could do a horror film one.
Because you know there'd be jump scares.
Yeah.
We had a great. We actually had.
And I'm getting older, and my bladder's not as good as it used to be.
We actually had a great time in, last year where we went to Universal Studios. We did Halloween Horror Nights, mm-hmm. and they had a huge. There were mazes everywhere, but we did the Halloween one. So you walk through the Myers house, and things jumped out. It was super cool. There was lots of people, but it was super cool. But I want to ask people what their favorite new horror franchises. So if you're out there in Spooky Sundays world, we're not talking, we're going to talk from the 90s onwards. So we can't have any Freddy Krueger, we can't have any Jason, we can't have anything like that. What's the new ones that have actually scared you and given you a bit of a fright? Because I remember when I saw the first Conjuring movie, before we knew anything about the rest of it, and you know, everything, that was genuinely like, ooh, a little bit off-putting. There were points where they had to jump scares before they became, you know, typical. And it worked. But I want to know what scares people these days, because I still have, like, recurring moments. Every time I watch The Exorcist, something weird happens. Every time. I've turned the TV off and I swear I heard someone say my name.
Ooh.
Yes. Every time I watch The Exorcist, something happens. So I want to know what it is for other people, because all of these franchises have different things. There's also talk of a crossover movie between Insidious and Sinister. So that may be coming. That's my corner.
Text your thoughts through to 0490 84 8886.
It comes out this week, so July the 6th, I think it is, or 4th, whatever Thursday is.
Mm-hmm. Robert's texted through another movie that's just been released this week.
Yes.
Indiana Bones and the Debilitating Dial.
I don't know. Mm. We don't know what to believe about that. It's getting bad reviews, but I don't believe reviews anymore either.
Yeah. Shane did mention in relation to your, spontaneous combustion story, that the spontaneous combustion is just somebody lighting their farts.
Gone wrong.
It's true. I think we'll go to a song.
We need to go to a song, yeah.
And then you'll hear my story.
Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata on Newcastle Live.
And do I have a story for you? Oh, this is a really good one.
Do we get to do sound effects?
No, I don't think you can with this one. But,
can we find a way?
We always find a way.
Mm. So as I mentioned, this comes from Troy Taylor, and you can follow his Facebook page. He has great stories on there, and he's a master storyteller. And so let me just get into it here. It's called Up in Smoke. Around 9 p.m. on the evening of July the 1st, 1951, a widow, Mary Reesa, said goodbye to her only son, Dr. Richard Reesa Jr., after he had stopped by for a visit. She slipped into a nightgown and then sat down in an overstuffed armchair in the living room of her St. Petersburg, Florida apartment.
She must have been tired if she was overstuffed.
She had just taken two sleeping pills, but before getting into bed, she decided to smoke her last cigarette for the night. Bad move, Mary. Mary would never be seen alive again. When her landlady, Pansy Carpenter, tried to drop off a telegram that had been delivered the next morning, she found the door to Mary's apartment was warm. The door handle was too hot to even touch. She called the fire department. Help! Look, you guys were supposed to be doing...
Sorry.
Fire department!
God. When firefighters arrived, they found a baffling scene.
Oh, I'm baffled.
The apartment was filled with smoke and soot. Embers were still glowing bright orange.
Sooty doesn't make a noise. I can't do it.
Mary was gone. Oh, don't do that ASMR. That sets me off. ASMR stuff thing. Oh, don't.
I wonder what way it sets her off. Is it a good way or a bad way?
No, it's terrible. Oh, let me get back to the story. Mary was gone. Only a pile of black embers remained, and among them they found the coiled springs of the chair she'd been sitting in and part of Mary's backbone.
Oh.
Her left foot sat in the pile, still wearing a slipper. Her skull, reports noted, had shrunken to the size of a cup. The apartment had been subjected to extreme heat. Candles had been melted into puddles of wax. Smoke had stained the ceiling and the tops of the walls. Warped electric switches sagged in the walls. In other parts of the same room, though, the walls were clean and the switches undamaged. A stack of newspapers hadn't even smouldered, and the sheets on Mary's bed were still white. All the fire damage was confined to the chair where Mary had been sitting and the area around it. But how? How could a woman go up in flames without the rest of the room burning? What could have killed Mary Reeser? No one knew what to make of the case, but there were plenty of theories. It didn't seem to be murder. Mary and her husband, Dr. Richard Reeser, had been happily married for decades in Columbia, Pennsylvania. A few years after Dr. Reeser had died, Mary had moved to St. Petersburg to be closer to her son and granddaughters. She loved her family and was avid with needlepoint. But Florida was too hot for her liking, and she missed her friends back home. Her son could tell she was feeling depressed when he last saw her. She hadn't felt like eating dinner. In fact, the two sleeping pills she took when he left were the only things in her stomach. Some proposed her death could be an accident, a lightning strike or electrical fire, but investigators ruled those things out. Others blamed the fabric of her chair. Napalm, phosphorus, and even thermite bombs. What? Oh, these are the claims. Yeah,
she's a member of the KGB or something, is she?
Because, like, it says others blame the fabric of her chair, and the next word is napalm, and I've gone, hold on. One man claimed it had been a ball of fire that came through her open window and hit her.
Ball lightning.
I seen it happen.
Goodness
he added.
Goodness gracious. A great ball of fire.
Yes. There seemed to be no easy answers, but then a local resident sent a letter into the newspaper with a new concept, spontaneous human combustion. In other words, Mary herself caused the fire. Her body had just burst into flames. The idea gained traction, and while seemingly impossible, it began to be taken seriously. The theory started popping up in newspapers all over the country, and soon the lonely widow from St. Petersburg was showing up in national headlines. The police weren't willing to accept something so outrageous, though. They sent boxes of evidence to the FBI lab in Washington, which included portions of the apartment rug, smoke samples, rubble from the walls and floor, and segments of the chair. FBI agents spent 3 weeks examining Mary's mysterious disappearance. In the end, they found no evidence that lightning had struck Mary or the building. They could detect no substance that could have started the blaze and ruled out an electrical fire. On August the 8th, Police Chief J.R. Reichardt released a statement to the media calling it the most unusual case I have seen during my almost 25 years of police work in the city of St. Petersburg. He was convinced, however, that Mary had been doused with some sort of combustible fluid, claiming that all traces of it would have been burnt up in the fire. This wasn't accurate, but what else could he say? If it wasn't an accident, then it would have to be spontaneous human combustion, which scientists claimed couldn't have happened. Mary's family believed it was an accident too. Her daughter-in-law, Ernestine, stated in 1991, Mary was a great smoker. The cigarette dropped to her lap. Her fat was the fuel that kept her burning.
Oh, God, I'd burn for days.
The floor was cement and the chair was by itself. There was nothing around her to burn. That's what the cops had decided too.
I'll whack a wick in.
Mary was drowsy from her sleeping pills. Dropped a cigarette onto her rayon nightgown.
Rayon. I wonder if was she wearing a Spencer?
We've lost Renata. She's cracked herself up.
She's gone. Oh, rayon. That takes me back.
No.
She's gone. Don't talk. Okay. She's really gone.
Yeah. So, Rayon. Oh, love it. Oh, do they even make that anymore?
No, it's probably, it probably makes you burst into flames. That's why.
Rayon. I can't see. I've got tears in my eyes. Oh, okay.
She's melting, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Yes, so what happened? No one knows. It's been more than 70 years
since
Mary's mysterious death, and it's likely we will never have all the answers we seek. All after the police investigation ended, some of Mary's ashes were buried next to her husband in Pennsylvania. The rest stayed with her family in Florida, who once told the local newspaper that they used to feel her presence in their home before they finally got rid of her old furniture. That's Grandma
and her
again.
Left foot.
They used to say with a cool rush of air breezed past them, "Don't worry, she's nice."
They packed up all the rails.
Look, that's a picture.
Oh, is that a picture?
Yes, yes, the picture.
It's her leg.
Yes.
Yeah, you put it up today.
Yes, yes, just this leg and shoe.
Is she wearing a stocking?
Oh, I don't know.
But the shoe's still on the foot. That's just disturbing.
Oh, it is disturbing. If anyone has seen pictures of spontaneous combustion
where there is a
piece of a person's body still intact, it is the weirdest thing you're ever going to see because your brain just can't work out how that is even possible.
I think it's weirder than having a woman named Pansy.
Pansy.
What a great name.
Pansy.
Pansy.
Does Pansy wear rayon?
Pansy. No, Pansy wears no panties. Pansy's a bit of a thing.
Just pantyhose.
Ernestine. You don't hear Ernestine much either.
No, you don't hear Ernestine.
Beautiful names.
They are. They should
Pansy
be brought back.
Pansy and Ernestine. Lovely.
What are you people going on about?
That's the names in the article.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Reading and comprehension,
that's
ADHD lady. Come on.
No, my ADHD has kicked in. And I was enjoying the story in the moment, but asked me to recall it. I can't tell you.
Pansy.
I'm sorry. I lost it.
I took Pansy and Rayon from that.
I lost it after Rayon.
Many people did by the sounds of it. Their left leg. The rest of them's gone. Their teacup skulls.
Oh,
I'm storing away the rayon for future use.
Oh, yes. Yes. Look, find something that's rayon and give it to one of your kids.
Does anyone have any rayon clothing at home? Please text in.
Is that the one that if you rub it, it gets all electrical?
It's like cheap silk, right?
Yeah. And it goes
staticky and you put it on like clack, 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 clack.
Can we use that during a ghost hunt, rayon?
If you can find some.
Rayon ghost grannies. Let's get jumpsuits made out of it.
Oh, and let's go to a song.
All right, we'll be back after this one.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh, that was a nice little segue in.
I know. Who was that company they were talking about just before?
Oh, could it have been Newcastle Ghost Tours?
Oh, fancy that. And you were out today doing your Newcastle walk.
I'm so happy to hear that that's back.
I am too.
I think it's good.
Yes.
That's how you started, wasn't it?
It was. The very first thing that I did was a East End Ghost Walk. And when COVID hit, I stopped doing them and actually tonight was the first one back after all that time.
Wow.
I think it's due because you've got to think about all these new people moving into the city that don't know the city.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to move into this city and not know a little bit of the history, and like the ghost stories are part of the history of Newcastle, whether the council would like to admit it or not, or the building owners would like to admit it or not, this is a town that has some haunted places, and I think that makes us, special.
Without history, there are no ghosts.
Correct.
Right. And the lady that I had, who came on the tour tonight with her two daughters, her father actually lived in Newcastle, and he owned a store in Cook's Hill, and he said that it had a ghost in it.
Oh, which one?
We don't ask our elderly relatives the stories
enough
that need
questions
to be told before they are no longer with us.
I'll ask you her last name off air because I may know who it was, because there was two shops down the corner from me and one was a butcher shop and the other one was a small grocery store.
It could have been the small grocery store.
Yeah. And that went through many hands, that one.
Interesting.
I'd say her dad would have probably been one of the last ones, and they're now terrace houses.
Mm-hmm.
But I would believe there was ghosts in that. I really
would. Very interesting. There you go. So you've got a story for us that you were going to tell last week, but got waylaid because people wanted to hear your UFO encounter.
And I believe that the heading of that podcast is Anne was captured by a UFO.
Absolutely.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Great. Anyway, I have got a Liverpool ghost story for you. This is at 2 a.m. in the city. They were being rinsed by a downpour of Welsh rain and a gaggle of homeward-bound clubgoers gathered underneath the bus shelter outside the Mardi Gras nightclub on Mount Pleasant. Taxis were whistled. They just never stopped. Sorry, taxis were whistled for, but they never stopped. And suddenly, a 12-cent bus approached, or is it 12C? Must be 12C. I don't know if it's 12 cent or 12C. Somebody let me know.
It's the 12C bus.
Yeah, approached at that unearthly hour from the direction of the Shell station. A 2 a.m. bus service was unheard of in 1966. But a young man, high on Purple Hearts... I don't know what that is. Is that too many lifesavers?
Like Purple Rain.
Jokingly put his hand out and the 12C bus stopped. Now, it was a double-decker.
Are you ready?
Oh, nice.
It was the bus stop.
It was painted black. But the friendly face driver smiled and beckoned for the seven or eight people to get on board the vehicle. The upper deck was full, so the newly embarked passengers sat downstairs and chatted to one another and lit their ciggies.
Oh, back in the days when you could smoke on the bus.
Where's the inspector, joked Ray, his ears still ringing from the loud music of the Mardi. Weighing up the situation, his fingers stroked his Van Dyke.
Hey, get your fingers out of there.
Excuse me, what's that?
As a blonde twig, it's, you know, the little goatee.
It's a goatee.
As a blonde twiggy lookalike seated opposite, fidgeted with a loose false eyelash between her glances at him. Stu, the 19-year-old on Purple Hearts, was leaning on the pole at the back of the bus, callously waving at the drenched folk of Mount Pleasant. All of a sudden, there was a flash of lightning and hail pelted the black bus. Thank you. The 12C accelerated at an incredible speed and the inertia sent those standing onto the floor.
Ah, bang.
That would not have hurt.
What's it? No.
Screams filled the vehicle.
Oh, wow. I've fallen. The cat's done a whoopsies.
Ray, who's high on Purple Hearts, I think, saw Oxford Street flitting past the windows.
Wrong Oxford Street.
And he swore with nerves. Slow down, will you? He shouted towards the driver, but the engine whined and the bus went even faster. The Twiggy twin was in tears and she clutched the arms of another young lady seated next to her. Abercrombie Square passed by and Stu was hanging from the pole sick with fear.
Oh, I'm sick.
Ray estimated the bus speed as being in excess of over 80 miles at least, and it was still accelerating.
That's a good bus.
I know. Do you know what it reminds me of?
Speed?
No, Harry Potter.
Oh,
Sandra, you know, the Bullock. Night bus?
Yes,
the that's night bus
true.
On Harry Potter.
Yes, yes.
I wonder if it's anyway, keep going.
Keep going.
Ray, yeah, so we've estimated the speed when you're on Purple Hearts was 80 miles an hour. What was that weird noise barely audible over the roaring engine? The passengers upstairs were all laughing hysterically. Oh, I'm getting off at the bully, shouted a spectacled passenger trying to convince himself this was a normal bus. The vehicle tore up the hill of Grenfell Street. And as it turned down Overton Street, the bus toppled about 40 degrees to the left. Really? Everyone thought their number was up, but the bus righted itself on the wrong side of the road and screeched into a curve, which almost took it through the windows of Kay Nelson.
Oh, who's Kay Nelson?
People prayed, cried and swore as the bus mounted the curb of the Picton Clock Traffic Island. Don't say that in a rush too often.
Picton Clock Traffic Island.
Yep. And flew down Childwall. Yes. By now, the unearthly bus was travelling around 120 miles per hour. Oh my
God. Whatever.
And the petite blonde threw up over Ray.
Well, she's twiggy. She hasn't really eaten much.
No,
anyway.
Well, she needs to purge what she ate last. As he edged
the Blue Betty's.
As he edged to the back of the bus, wondering if he could leap off the platform where Stu was clinging on for dear life. Oh. Ray wondered why the maniac driver driving the bus was going so fast and how he was going so fast. It was impossible. Well, he is tripping on Purple Heart. So he looked up, and on the stairs there stood a pale-faced man he immediately recognised.
I'm free!
A man who had been dead for over a decade. Mr. Ryan. The dirty old man who had lived next door to Ray when he was a child.
My God.
Ray found himself taking his late nan's rosary beads from inside his pocket. He's carrying rosary beads to the Mardi Gras Club.
Oh, that's, yeah.
He's tripping balls, this guy.
Yeah. And he clutched them as he said the Lord's Prayer out loud.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side.
The middle-aged man who wanted to get off at the bull ring joined in. That sounded really wrong because he got to get off.
At
the bull ring. And the bus halted on Childwell. It has to be that word, doesn't it? Childwell Valley Road. The passengers disembarked and watched the vehicle speed off into a night mist. And that was from Tom Slemon's new book, Haunted City, which is out now.
I think Tom hasn't recovered from the Purple Hearts himself.
That was Ray.
Oh, Ray.
Ray with his rosary beads and the Purple Hearts.
Oh, I thought Ray. There's too many names. Ray, Stew. Ray.
Isn't it a great story?
Mm.
I don't know if it's exciting. A real one or if it's a created one, but it is. We'll have to look up the book, Haunted City by Tom Slemon.
Slemons. What a great name. I wonder if he's related to Pansy. Pansy Slemons. Private eye. She wears rayon.
She wears
rayon and Spencer's. Rayon slacks and a Spencer. She's gorgeous.
I'm just going to let Renata.
I reckon she'd have a nice blue rinse too.
Oh, no, purple.
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 What happened to... Let's talk about that.
All right, we'll be back with some purple stories and blue rinses straight after a bit of kung fu fighting.
Mucha.
Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata on Newcastle Live.
By how those 2 hours have flown.
They have.
Goodness gracious me. So much to talk about. Like I said, in the break. In the break. So many questions.
I thought in the break you were going.
So many questions. Not enough
my
time.
My big question is, why did people used to dye their hair purple?
Oh, it's probably the closest thing to grey that they had.
It was never human. It was never a colour you saw in nature. It was bright. You don't see that anymore.
Everyone colours their hair now.
But remember when Nana reached 55 and she's like, that's it,
Purple rinse.
Yeah, I have to admit that I did find some of that in the cupboard when I was younger, and I used to have white blonde hair, and I put some in my hair. And I didn't realise. Like, I just got a section of it and just sort of put a little bit in a
I just wonder what it was about culture that we just went, you know what? Put it in the effort bucket. Here's
another
Let's go.
This is another question. This is one of the... Look, the 60s were a weird time. That's when you used to get an orange and stick toothpicks in there and cover it with cheese squares and...
Cabanossi and pineapple. Delish.
Those little...
Pickled onions.
Pickled onions.
Baby gherkins.
Is this bringing
we're
back doing,
we're going backwards again.
And the Philadelphia cream cheese with a tin of tuna over some seafood cocktail sauce.
That's great.
If you could afford it, you could put some salmon.
You want to talk about hauntings? Yeah. And if you're poor, you had to have seafood extender. Like seafood salad, anyone? And speaking of seafood salad, if you haven't already checked out Anna Renata's YouTube channel, we've had a new video go up.
Finally.
It's going up.
Oh, which one?
I've buried the lead. It's a brand new one that we've just worked on.
Which one?
It's a little town we visited the other
way. Oh, I think we can.
You haven't seen it, have you?
No,
it's really good.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you aren't already subscribed to Anna Renata's YouTube,
yes,
please do so, because there's a lot of stuff to come.
There's a lot. Poor cousin Steve has been editing furiously, and I have been very slack at getting them up there.
We're at Tintagel, aren't we, at the moment?
Yes, mm-hmm. The Tintagel one. You may look slightly familiar because we had a different version of it, and this is sort of like the extended version. So we've got that up, and there is another one that's going up because I looked at Bodmin Jail. That's ready to go as well.
Because you guys haven't seen these, so they've been sitting there waiting for you to look at. So there's more coming your way, people.
We have a brand new style coming out.
I've got a new shirt. Oh.
Yes, we do.
A new.
Go on, tell
me. Can we mention it?
Yes, we can.
There's a new show coming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Later in the year. We haven't decided when yet, mm-hmm. but keep your eye out. There'll be little
teasers. It won't be that much longer. But you may see a little hint at the end of an Easter egg at the end of some video.
There's some already out there for those eagle-eyed people. Mm-hmm, so go back and find it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Your views will go up.
It's all happening, isn't it?
And Timu, we've got another Timu.
Timu's going strong.
Yep. What did we have in there that you particularly love? The diamond art, when you realise the amount of work that goes into those things?
The diamond art people, I tell you what, you guys are amazing.
And if you want some vouchers, you're going to have to go watch the video. Look underneath the video in the comments and there's vouchers and coupons. So, yeah. Yes. We love those. They're fun.
All of that is happening. Plus, we are madly scrambling to just finish off any extra things that we need to have ready while we are away so that you guys have plenty of content. And then, of course, in between that, you'll be looking at our Facebook pages and YouTube to catch up on what we are doing while we are away.
You've got stuff to do before you go away, right?
Yeah, all of that's going to be going. If you want the nitty-gritty on everything, you're going to have to join Patreon and become a Grand Poobah for Anne and Renata. How much is that a month?
$10 US, I think it is.
It's $10 a month.
14 Australian or thereabouts, 15 Australian, something like that. I can't remember. But if you go over to Patreon, Patreon, Anne and Renata, you will find us there and you can check that out. And also, if you just want to chuck us a cup of coffee to say thank you for our hard work, just look up Buy Me a Coffee, Anne and Renata.
And in between all of that, we're doing some pop-ups this week too with our tarot shows. Yes.
You're popping everywhere.
We are popping up everywhere. But
tours, right? Are there tours?
Yes, we've got a Wallumbye on this Saturday night, which they can book through Newcastle Ghost Tours. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And I think the residence is sold out, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The res is sold out.
The res is sold
there's
out.
Plenty of other dates, right?
Yes.
They can look forward to them. Yes. Newcastle, on the
Maitland Jail.
Yes.
Maitlandjail.com. And so that's it. We're saying good night, au revoir, bye-bye, see you later.
How do we say it in Polish?
Do widzenia.
Do widzenia. Something like that?
Do widzenia.
That's not how Roman taught me.
Well, he's wrong.
Dolphin singer.
Dolphin singer.
That John West rejects that makes John West the
best.
Auf
Wiedersehen.
I'd just like to say that the last song I did not choose, it's just arrived here and we're just going to go with it. I can see the song I chose after that was one of the ones I picked. But in the meantime, we're going to go with a Rusted Root.
Bless you.
Send me on my way.
You might get tetanus and it'll send you on your way.
We'll see you guys. Well, we'll be chatting to you guys next week, but we'll see you during the week.
And on the dark side.
And be frightfully good.
And I can't say the last thing. It's on radio.
All right. Don't swear at people. Don't be a dickhead. All right. Bye, everyone.
Ciao.
Bye.
Most mysteries can be solved by looking at the facts. But sometimes the facts don't give us the answer. So it's time to call in Anne and Renata. Spooky Sundays, when the truth lies beyond a logical answer. Dive deep into the world of the unknown with real ghost stories and the unexplainable. Sometimes unconventional, but always entertaining. It's Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata. Sunday from 8 p.m. only on Newcastle Live.
Even when when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.